thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+, or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio
be all right.
At 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT.
No need to
worry. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
All right.
It's gonna be all right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all
right. Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Anybody blessing his name tonight? Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto us all good things. I present to you our pastor and our teacher for tonight, Pastor Montgomery. Come on and give it up.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to study your word. Bless your people who have pressed through this day and pushed to make it here tonight to be a part of this corporate study of the word. Meet us not only in the text, but in the truth of our hearts, and change us and transform us by your word. And we give you praise, glory, and honor for the principles that you shall reveal to us and empower us to practice, that we might profit from them. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in God's presence. So grateful to God to have you out tonight to be a part of this study of the Word. And as we continue to grow in the knowledge of God's Word, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. But in all thy getting, get understanding. In all thy getting, get understanding. In all thy getting, get understanding. What does that mean? It's not just enough, again, to quote scriptures or to be able to use scriptures in certain applications. It is more important not only to get the understanding of what God means, by being able to discern everything that touches our lives, everything that has to relate to both the spiritual and the secular, to be able to know how to come in and move out of his presence and his word and his will and his way. And so it is the understanding of those things that helps us to take advantage of what God wants for us here on planet Earth. One of the things that we will discover is that you've known a lot of scripture all your life, but it really ain't done no good for you. One of the reasons is because you really don't understand it. You know what the verse says, but you don't understand what the verse is really saying. You don't have the understanding of the spiritual application of the text. And so as a result of that, we've missed much of the Word of God. One of the simple things that we're dealing with tonight is on the message that Jesus gave in coming on the scene in Matthew chapter 5. It says he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, he sat down and taught them. Well, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is what we call traditionally the Sermon on the Mount, but in reality, it's the Lesson on the Mount, because it is a continuation of what he started in the Eastern cultures. When you had gatherings, especially outside gatherings, etc., they would sit down for hours and hours and hours hearing from someone who was capable of interpreting the word and dividing the word of truth. And so this was all the course in the lesson that he taught. Well, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8 is where we're going to look at tonight, and we're going to deal with some other scriptures to support what we're going to share with you tonight. Now, it's a very familiar passage of scripture. We've heard it many times. Is my reader present tonight?
He's here. Yes, sir.
All right. All right. Thank you so much. All right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and verse 8. Rita, I want you to read for me.
Verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened.
Amen. Now listen to this. Now we know this, we've heard that from Sunday school on up. But do we really understand what it's saying to us? And here's where wisdom is always akin to your God knowledge. If you know little word, you'll have little wisdom. The more word you read and study, and the application here is study, because Paul said, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to do what? Show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, that's what's going to help us in understanding God's word, not reading it, studying it. And so when we look at this, verse 7 has three principles. What are those principles? It says, ask, and it shall be given you. That's first principle. Second principle is seek, and ye shall find. Third principle, knock, and it shall be opened unto who?
You.
Unto you. Now, as we move down to verse 8, there are three promises. For everyone that asketh what? For everyone that asketh what?
Receive it.
All right. He that seeketh what? Findeth. And to him who knocks, what shall happen? It shall be opened. Now, there are three promises here. Now, if you don't ask, you don't receive. If you don't seek, you don't find. If you don't knock, it will not be opened. And notice it doesn't say, and the door shall be open. It says, and he that knocketh, or to him that knocketh, it shall be open. It. You got things that needs to be opened that's more than doors. You need ways opened up. You need, you know, different areas of your life opened up. And so and you need your understanding opened up. Now, one of the things you're going to realize, too, is that ask has to do with petition. Seek has to do with purpose. And knock has to do with perseverance. All important. We ask, one commentator says, for what we want. We seek for what we've lost. We knock for what we need. Another writer said, we ask for what we wish. We seek for what we miss. And we knock for what we want opened. Now, though they're very similar, it is clear and close in terms of understanding that we knock on the door that we won't open. You don't go around knocking on every door. You knock on the right door, the door where you want to enter in. And so it's important to understand that the principle talks about persevering at the place where you want to go into. When we were kids, you know, sometimes when we get cantankerous and nothing to do, we go knock on folk door and take out running. You know, and you know, sometimes we'd ring the doorbell. We'd wait till somebody opened the door, hide behind the bushes. You know, go back there and do it again till you get caught and stuff like that, you know. But here's the point. When you recognize that all of these principles and promises are made to the believer, it changes your outlook. Now let's move back up to the word ask, because it's important to understand that this word ask entails a whole lot of things. It entails prayer. It entails alms, which is where we get charity and benefit from. It also entails begging. It also entails petition. It also entails require. Okay, now all of that's in the word ask. The point that Jesus is making, and we need to understand this for our betterment in terms of doing this, is also it provides two platforms. In the sixth chapter, Jesus talking about men asking alms, which means they were begging for charity. All right? Believers and beggars are given the same word, ask, but they both ask from different platforms. Beggars ask from a platform of a non-relationship to the giver. Believers ask from the relationship that they have with the giver. In other words, if you belong to God, then when you ask, you don't have to come to him begging because of your entitlement, because you are a child of God. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 12. Read it when you're ready. And then when we go from there, we're going to look at Romans 8 and 17. And this is important. Listen.
John chapter 1, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
All right, listen at this. Everyone that received him, God gave them power. Say power. This word power comes from the Greek word exousia. Exousia means authority. Everyone who received the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave him authority to become the sons of God, the daughters of God. All right? Romans 8, 17.
Romans 8 and 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
All right. Now, all right, we are heirs now of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Now, this puts us on a different plane than the beggar. The beggar is asking, hoping that he will move the heart of the giver to give him something. The believer asks God out of his right as a child of God who's entitled. You remember in the 15th chapter of Luke, the prodigal son went to his father and said, Father, give to me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Notice he didn't go begging. Listen, he had an inheritance. The older son got a double portion. He got a single portion. He was asking for nothing more than his portion. He was entitled to it. He had a right to it. And he went to his father with confidence, and he petitioned his father, which comes out of the area of jurisprudence, which is a legal term. It is a formal request. He went to his father and said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. That's outlined as his. It's his right. It's his privilege. And so it's usually, of course, done after the death of a father, but could be requested when the child was of legal age. And so he chose to ask his father when he was of legal age for his portion. His father granted it to him with no argument. Now listen to this, because there's a point I'm making. When you belong to God, you've got to change your attitude and your mindset about going to God. You no longer go to him, Lord, here I am, your poor, weak, and humble servant, knee bent and body bowed, begging you please, master, to do such and so and so. We used to pray that in the day we didn't have the knowledge that we have. James said, when you know better, you what? You do better. So now that you have better sense of the word of God, understanding your position and platform as a believer, you are entitled to receive what is rightfully yours. What is rightfully yours? Whatever is rightfully Jesus's. Did you get what I just said? What is rightfully yours is whatever is rightfully Jesus. Why? Because you are what? Joint heir. Joint heir. His portion may be double because he's the elder brother, but we still got a portion of everything he has. So when we understand that, we go to God with a different mindset. Listen, it's so important as a believer to have faith in God. Mark 11 and 22. I want to read it to get ready for Mark 11 and 24. But Mark 11, 22 simply says, have faith in God. Amen. Verse 23 says, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to yonder, and it shall be done unto you. But look at what verse 24 says.
Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Ah, listen to this. Whatever you're going to ask God for, as a believer, believe that you have them before you ask him, and you're going to have it. As a believer, as a child of God who has certain rights that belong to his children. Now, when you have that kind of confidence, it makes a difference, because now I don't have, because I'm not a beggar, but I'm a believer, I'm a son of God. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and I want you to read that, because what makes the difference is now my attitude in how I go to God. Listen, God wants me to come to him confidently. God wants me to come to him with assurance. God wants me to come to him with the knowledge of who I am and whose I am. I don't have to come to him like a beggar. But as a child
of the Almighty God. Rita.
1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him.
Mm-hmm.
That if we ask anything according to his will.
Wait, right there. This is our confidence. What is the confidence? That if we ask anything according to what?
His will.
His will. Now, wisdom tells me that God only honors his word, which is his will, and it will only be done his way. So if I don't ask according to his will, does he have a right or is he under warrant to answer me? No, sir. The confidence is that if we ask anything according to what? His will. So if I'm going to ask according to his will, then that means I've got to know his word. If I'm going to ask according to his will, I've got to know what his word says. Because his word reveals his mind. This divinely inspired written word of God reveals the mind of God. So then I know what his will is. So I don't have to come and say, Lord, if it be thy will. He said, well, obviously you ain't studied. Because you need to come to me with confidence knowing it is my will. Continue.
If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
He heareth us. Listen to this. God is not even under warrant to hear your mess. When you get that fumbling and bumbling talking to God, God like, click. I ain't trying to hear this mess. He don't even know. She don't even know what she's trying to ask me for. Then when we do ask, they're not asking the right way. Why? Because we're not asking according to the word, the will, or the way. Go to verse 15.
Verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
Ah, we know. Here's that word petitions now. That we have the petitions that we desire of him. Petitions. Listen, that is a formal request. What do you mean? You mean tell me I can go to God and say, God, like the prodigal son, give me the portion that falleth to me? You mean to tell me I don't have to go knee bent and body bowed, begging for what's mine? No, I can come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? Because when I know what I know is the will of God and I know it's mine, I don't have to come whining and crying. That don't move God. Lord, I'm tired of this and that and the other. No. You have authority. You have power. You are able to speak those things that be not as though they were. You can bind up stuff on heaven. He will bind it up in heaven. You can loose stuff on earth. He will loose it in heaven. You have the ability to do all of the things. So when you come there whining and crying to God, listen, he sees your tears. He knows your tears, every tear you drop. He records it in a bottle and holds it there. But he's not moved by it according to what needs to be done in your situation. Listen, that's one thing that has to do more with mercy and having compassion on you. But as far as getting your prayer answered, you need some faith. Amen. Not only do you need some faith, but you need the ability to call the word and the will of God the right way. Listen, go to James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Because one of the reasons why you're going to find out God doesn't answer many of our prayers is not only do we not know the word, and not only do we not understand the will, but we are taking out of context why we go to God and ask him for anything. Read.
James chapter 4, verse 2. Ye lust and have not.
Ye lust and have not.
Ye kill and desire to have.
Ye kill and desire to have.
And cannot obtain.
And cannot obtain.
Ye fight in war, yet have not, because ye ask not.
You fight and war, and yet you have not, because what?
Because ye ask not.
Because ye ask not. Well, listen, first thing is, you got a father. You ain't got to envy nobody. You don't have to be jealous of anybody. You don't have to try and covet what belongs to somebody else. Do you know God's got your own with your name on it? There are some things God's got reserved just for you, and what you need to do is get connected with what God has for you. Many of us miss the blessings of God because we're looking at somebody else's blessings instead of claiming our own blessings and knowing what God has for us. Because listen, He's not going to give you somebody else's blessings. He's going to give you your blessings. Now, listen. He says at the end of that, the reason you really don't have is because you didn't even ask in the first place. You chose worldly methods of trying to obtain stuff instead of going to God. Well, one of the reasons I suggest you didn't go to God is because you knew you were wrong. Y'all can get quiet if you want. I know I'm right. Well, some things you know is not the will of God, you don't go to God with that foolishness. But it don't mean you don't try and do it yourself. Verse 3,
ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust.
Ye ask, but ye ask amiss. Is the Lord calling you? Yeah. Listen, ye ask amiss. Amiss is, the analogy is a big target. And you know, in the middle of it is a bullseye. And they have the outer rings, 10, 20, 30, 40, going all the way to the middle, to the bullseye. He's saying, you don't even hit the whole target. You miss the whole target. Miss the whole thing. And so you don't get it because you couldn't even hit the target, less known the bullseye. Take a minute and think on that. Now, again, when we ask, and this is so important because I'm trying to get us to understand, as a believer, it's because we have relationship. Relationship. Remember when young Solomon was given the opportunity to ask God, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. When Solomon was getting ready to inherit all of this power to lead the people of God, I want you to read that, Rita. He had the privilege of asking God for long life, for riches, for wealth, for everything that he desired in his heart. But instead of that, he requests something else. Now, keep in mind, everything now I'm sharing with you is because of relationship. Somebody say relationship. You see, you have a whole nother level of opportunity and pleasure and privilege when you are a believer and you have relationship with God. Reader, read.
1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people.
Listen, wait. Give thy servant an understanding heart is what he asked God for. For what purpose? To judge thy people. Now, you've got to know this pleased God because most kings didn't ask God for that. Matter of fact, Solomon is the only one recorded here in this light that asked that question. Now, he of course is also noted as one of the wisest men, save Jesus, who ever walked the earth. All right, now he's asking out of relationship. God would have granted what he asked. And this is what he asked God. Continue read.
That I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?
His desire was to have wisdom enough to discern good and bad. He wanted to rule righteously. He wanted to bless God and the people of God. So he asked for what pleased God. All right.